Heute Abend spielt Jared aus Brisbane im Prince Charles. Jetzt ist aber erstmal bei mir im Studio. Wir quatschen über viele Köche und einen dann doch unverdorbenen Brei. Wir finden raus, wie die Erfahrung einer gescheiterten Karriere im Musikbusiness wie wichtig diese Erfahrung für sein jetziges Selbstvertrauen war. Wir reden außerdem über Blasmusik aus Deutschland, das VÖ-Datum seines Albums 31 und vieles mehr. Zunächst aber heißt es jetzt und hier nochmal Hello and welcome to Flux FM, Jared James.
Hi, how are you?
How are you? I wanted to ask you first.
I'm good.
Good.
I'm
really good. You speak a little bit of German, actually?
No, very.
Because you just said Bill Gates.
Yeah, I probably said it wrong.
I totally got it. So where are you coming from today?
We got in from, let me think. I can't remember. Where did we come from? We've been on a bus and we
That's
came
a good
from,
sign.
Amsterdam.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we just came from Amsterdam.
Okay, that's a city that you tend to forget when you leave it, right? What was the name of that town again that we've just left?
Yeah. No, we were in there. We played a show there last night and then we sort of just drove through the night. We've got a tour bus. And
cool.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Sounds good to me. Yeah. Congratulations on finishing your first LP as well. It's been out for a few weeks now in Australia.
About 1 week.
Yeah. About 1 week, yeah. Yeah. They released it on the 11th of September.
Actually, yeah, 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. So you've written and recorded the LP with various producers like Joe Little, Pip Norman, Malay, and your friend Matt Corby, who we play here as well.
Oh, awesome.
How did you make sure that all these cooks didn't spoil the broth? Because that's what one says, right? You shouldn't probably use too many producers. How did you make sure that there's an organic thing in the end?
Well, I think you're right. Too many cooks in the kitchen can, you know, make it a bit weird. But I think the people that I've chosen to work with, they understand what I'm trying to do completely, and they're not the kind of producers that want to get in the way or be overbearing. And so I think that's what it is. Like, it's all credit to these people that I've been working with.
Yeah.
It's a skill to not let your ego get in the way.
Yeah, that's true.
Producing. So, they just understand me, I think.
It's cool because, I mean, I think sometimes it's hard enough to find one person who understands your idea of music.
Right. Yeah.
And then this person, he or she doesn't just have to understand your vision, but you have to get along with them.
Exactly.
The vibe has to be right. You have to be able to open up in the studio and sing your heart out,
That's it, man. And I think
that happened with all the people. That's like a miracle, actually.
Yeah, it doesn't happen very often, but when it happens, it's beautiful. And I think the other thing is I'm not the kind of artist that I don't sit back and let someone do everything. Like, I'm very hands-on and I'm involved in every single part of the song. So, you know, I'm there. So that's what ties it all together.
Yeah. What I love about your music is that you're trying to keep it simple. You're not trying to overproduce things and you're not trying to overcompose songs, if one can say so. Mm. How did you find that laissez-faire kind of thing in the studio? Because I've read that you didn't overthink your music, especially with that song that's been done in a very short session. Yeah. And it's just because you didn't overanalyze the signals that you've recorded and stuff. How did you get there as a musician?
I think it's definitely been years and years of experimenting with, normally what happens is you'll start layering things up and what I've noticed is that when you start taking things away is when it really comes alive.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's something special about when you can hear every single part that's happening rather than just a big wall of sound for the kind of music I make anyway.
Yeah.
So the rest of it is just purely based on reaction. Like, when I listen to it, how do I feel?
Yeah.
And that's it. And I just try and find a balance for when that feels good.
Yeah, and there's some beautiful results that I've been listening to. So it's a good way of working on it. I've read about the fact that you spent loads of time in Los Angeles for that record. How has that kind of like shaped the songs? Because, I mean, there's advantages in staying away from home for a long time when you try to write music, but there must be disadvantages too, because especially in Los Angeles, I don't think it's a town where you feel home.
I think it can be like that, very much so in LA.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, the only reason I was in Los Angeles was because of the people that I wanted to work with. So, and we were always locked away in studios anyway, so we could have been anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
We could have been in Berlin for all we knew, but it's all about the company that I was keeping in. And I was oblivious to where I was half the time because of, you know, weird hours.
Yeah. We've just talked about the fact that you're not overthinking things and that you have a very very laissez-faire way to work with your own music. And how important was the fact that you've played in a band called Holland before? How important is that for the musician that you are now? Because I've read that that band, it had a major record company contract in the back of their van, and everybody was like, the only way is up, baby. Mm. Yeah. Let's do it. And then all of a sudden, cha-cha, it was all over. So it was kind of like a project that failed, if you want to say so. So how important was that experience for you now?
It was it was a very mixed emotion sort of thing. At the time, it was really devastating because you put so much of your life into something like that, especially a band. There's multiple people that put their whole families and lives on the side for it. But in saying that, without that having happened, this wouldn't be so amazing. Like, I don't think I would appreciate what's happening now as much. And you know, it's all, I put it all down to experience, whether that be musically or in the whole business side, the music industry and all that thing. I've learned so much.
Yeah, because I can really imagine that if a record company asks you to sign their contract, you are much more relaxed now with the idea of signing a contract or not signing a contract than you have been 10 years ago, right?
I think I understand the context of it a bit better now, and I know what things mean and what they lead to.
So it's probably it's good to know that all the stuff that you're making could fail at one point and you're going to survive. I mean, that's something that is an important experience as well, right?
Right, yeah. And I got to say, I've got a really good team around me. I've got good people that play music with me and my management and my label. Like, everyone's just a really good team.
That's actually what I like about you, is that you give props to your management, because so many artists are like, yes, I mean, I'm a great artist, my music is so, I mean, you know, and they don't give props to their management, but I really think that a good management really helps you a lot as a musician.
Exactly. It's essential.
Yeah. Now, before we give too many props to the management, let's listen to another song of yours, this time von Jared James, nochmal auf dem Plattenteller. Wir reden gleich dann auch nochmal ein bisschen über die Zusammenarbeit mit Julia Stone und vieles mehr. Zwischendurch aber, wie gesagt, Jared James nochmal auf dem Plattenteller, this time auf Lux FM. Very nice. Jared James mit This Time. Ein Auszug aus der Jared James EP, die man im Netz schon besorgen kann. Physisch erscheint sie am kommenden Freitag, am 25.09. Wir haben jetzt schon ein bisschen über die LP gesprochen, die unter dem Titel 31 allerdings erst im Januar erscheinen wird, wenn ich richtig informiert bin. The EP is going to be released here physically on Friday, but the LP that's already been out for a few weeks in Australia, we're going to have to wait for that a little longer, right? You know, I think it's January when it's going to come out.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure, but it'll be around there.
So yeah. Also kurz nach Weihnachten, shortly after Christmas, one can spend one's money on your new record. I've read about an interesting little anecdote about you, and that's the fact that you have a German stepfather called Jürgen.
Jürgen. His name is Jürgen Maximilian Klapper.
Yeah. I've read that you were here as a child when you were a child. Yeah. They kind of like send you to Germany and meet your stepfather and hang out. Yeah. And then you saw a German Blaskapelle, like a German... A marching band or something?
Right, yeah, it was the brass band. It was because we were here around Christmas time, not long after. It was like 1990.
Okay. Yeah. And was it like the typical German brass music? Like,
I think they were more playing Christmas carols and stuff. But they did have the Lederhosen.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Is that
right? Lederhosen.
They were wearing all that stuff.
Isn't Jürgen in Solingen?
Yeah, he was from Solingen. Yeah.
Ah, okay, but he lives in Bavaria. I know Australia. Yeah. So now I get the whole thing. But I've read that your first instrument was a trumpet, just because of that experience.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Are there some trumpet licks on your EP or your LP?
You know what's funny? There's a producer by the name of Malay that I was working with in LA. And I really wanted to put some trumpet on this track that we're working on. I thought it would suit. So he sent the studio assistant out to find a trumpet. And he ended up finding, like, it was a big mission, and he found this vintage, it was like a 1963, like, beautiful trumpet. And it cost a fair bit to hire, and anyway, we were playing around with it. Anyway, it ended up there's one note on the entire album, and it doesn't even sound like a trumpet. It's like reversed and got some weird reverb on it and shit, and it sounds like something else.
Yeah,
but it's on there.
Yeah, cool.
One note. It was all worth it.
No, but that's another thing that I like about your music is that you're not the guy who thinks, oh, I got a trumpet here, I'm gonna record a lick and I'm gonna put it into a song. No, you're recording the trumpet. You record one note of the trumpet, then you turn it backwards and then you hide it in a song. I mean, that's right.
Man.
That's great, man. That's a good way of getting to new and interesting results. I really think so. I'd read that you start your music, or when you're composing, you start with the music and then you write the lyrics. How does that happen when you work with Julia Stone or something? Because we're going to listen to that song that you've recorded with Julia Stone, from Angus and Julia Stone. Do you have a topic for guests' appearances? Do you tell Julia, now this is the topic of the song, or do you write her lyrics as well, or how did that happen?
That one was real interesting. We'd never written before together, and I don't think Julia had written with anyone else before other than her brother Angus.
Mm.
And so it was very much an experiment. And I'm not a very good producer, but I was just leading that one myself, and I just started making music, and it came out really naturally, and then Julia started writing these lyrics, and it just came out really organically. There was absolutely no prerequisites or anything at all.
Cool.
It was what we were feeling in the moment, and she'd been going through some stuff, and I just wanted to make music, and that's it. And we had like half a day, and we came up with that song.
Brilliant. And it's another advantage of just letting things go, especially when you're working on music, because so many musicians, they'll end up in a writer's block because they overthink their stuff too much. Yeah. And so that might be the conclusion of our little talk here. Don't overthink things when you're making music. Also, die EP kommt physisch raus am Freitag. Die LP kann man dann ab Januar besorgen. Wir haben jetzt noch ein paar Tickets für die Show von Jared James im Prince Charles hier zu liegen, die ihr gewinnen könnt, wenn ihr mich anruft unter der 030 2000 9000. Berlin 2000 9000 ist die Nummer zum Glück. Und der durchkommt, der steht auf der Gästeliste für Jared James heute Abend im Prince Charles. I just gave away some tickets for tonight's show, Jared.
All right.
Thank you for visiting.
Thank you.
And now we're going to listen to Regardless, the song that you've written and recorded with Julia Stone. Jared James hier nochmal mit Regardless. Heute Abend spielt er im Prince Charles. Ihr könnt immer noch anrufen unter der 030 2000 9000, wenn ihr Tickets gewinnen wollt. Thank you, Jared. Bye-bye.
Thank you.